Hollywood, the Bill Harris Alice Bay Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Bill Harris Alice Bay Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Bay and Bill Harris. There have been rumors lately that Phil Harris doesn't have a sponsor. I should like to correct these rumors. He does have a sponsor, a very reputable company. Unfortunately, he's been forbidden to mention their name. This has bothered Phil to the extent where it's preying on his mind day and night. In fact, right now he's having a horrible nightmare about it.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Harris hasn't got a sponsor. Harris hasn't got a sponsor. Harris hasn't got a sponsor. Harris hasn't got a sponsor.
Stop it, everybody. Now stop it. Stop picking on me. I tell you, I have got a sponsor.
A likely story.
Frankie knows I have. Remley, tell him that I've got a sponsor. Tell him, tell him.
Don't talk to me, you unemployed bum.
I'm not unemployed.
Oh, are you kidding? If it wasn't for your wife being in burlesque, you'd starve.
My wife is not in burlesque. She just signed a contract by mistake. Alice, tell him you're not in burlesque. Go on, tell him, Alice.
The name is Boo Boo. Don't bother me, Buster. I gotta get ready for my bubble dance.
Alice, why are you dressed like that? You look awful.
It's all your fault, Philip. You're not working and she has to wear last year's burlesque costume. Look at it. It's full of patches.
Worse than that, she has to wear last year's bubbles. Vulcanized yet.
Everybody's picking on me. Everybody except my children. They believe me. You know I got a sponsor, don't you, baby Alice?
Who is this man, Phyllis? He's our unsponsored father. Alice, did he ever have a job? I can't remember that far back. I'm only 8 years old.
Well, I did, too, have a job. And I had a sponsor, and I can prove it. First there was, smile a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch shampoo. And then there was, good health to all from Rexall.
And now it is. Unemployment hits the spot. This guy's washed up. He's all shot. He can't get a job no how. They put him out to pasture now.
I wouldn't mind so much, but he's got such a lousy voice. For the last time, I'm telling you all that I got a sponsor.
Then why don't you mention his name on the air?
He won't let me. He threatened to cut me off the air if I ever mentioned the name of the company.
Well, you're not on the air now. Tell us the name of your sponsor.
Very well. The name of my sponsor is the company. How do you like that? They cut me off even in my dream.
Let's face it, Philip, you're no good to anybody anymore. You're like an old workhorse that's worn out. Why don't you do away with yourself?
I got a better idea. Let's break his leg and destroy him.
That's too cruel. Let's just push him off the top of this building. Grab him, Julius. Shove him, Willie. So long, Curly.
Get away from me. Stop pushing. Now get away from me. Stop pushing me. Look out. I'm falling. I'm falling.
Phil, stop screaming and wake up. Speak to me.
Speak to her? I just fell out of a 12-story building and this kid wants me to say hello.
You didn't fall out of any building.
Then what was that thud I just... Alice, don't tell me you fell off the runway.
Well, you fell out of bed. You must have had a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had a terrible dream. I dreamt that nobody had any use for me because they thought I didn't have a sponsor. Alice, this situation is getting me down.
Oh, why worry about it? You're getting paid every week. You've got a sponsor. Laugh it off when people say they don't believe it.
How can I laugh when inside my heart is being torn asunder? I ain't no clown like Paga Galotki.
I presume you mean Pagliacci.
Presume what you wish. I will say it as I wish. Alice, I've got something to do about this. I mean, it's a big thing. I can't just go around doing this. All of my friends are starting to shun me, and, well, some of the guys in the band are threatening to quit.
Well, your real friends won't quit you. They'll stick.
Well, how do I know? Hold it. I'll get that. Hiya, Frankie. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too, Curly. And here's my resignation.
You're resigning? Well, why?
I find it intolerable to be associated with a guy whose sponsor wants no part of it.
Oh. So you're off me too, huh, Remley? After all I've done for you. Oh, blow, blow, thou winter wind. Thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude.
What was that?
Shakespeare's As You Like It, Act 2, Scene 7, Line 174. Any questions? Remley, how could you desert me?
I had to, Curly. This situation is unbearable. When I visit my friends, what can I say to them?
What you always say to them, that you spoke to their lawyer and he's framing some new evidence.
I don't mean those friends. I'm talking about my society friends.
Your society friends?
Yes. Why, do you realize Lady Invercliffe hasn't invited me to tea in over a fortnight?
All right, Remley.
And Lord Chumley. When he sees me coming, he deliberately steams up his monocle.
Yeah, I said okay,
and particularly
Remley,
do I miss the pig-sticking sessions with the Bengal Lantlers.
Egad, how devastating. Alice, did you hear that? Lieutenant Remley hasn't lanced a bagel in ages.
What are you talking about?
Like I told you, now Remley's even quitting me.
I have to. People ask me who our sponsor is, and I'm not allowed to tell them. It's humiliating.
Oh, Alice Remley's right. And something's got to be done about the situation.
Well, if you feel that way, Phil, why don't you go down and talk to them at RCA?
What have they got to do with it?
They're our sponsors.
Are you sure? I could have sworn it was Swanson's chicken fricassee. With that down-home gravy.
Now, you know it isn't. Now, come on, let's go down and see Mr. Scott at RCA, and maybe you can talk him into letting you mention the name of his company.
Okay, the way I feel, I'll try anything. Come on, let's go.
You know, Phil, maybe we're making a mistake coming down here. You know, Mr. Scott said he never wanted us to be seen around the company's office. He doesn't want people to know that we're associated in any way.
Oh, nonsense. He loves me. Come on, let's go in. Hi, Mr. Scott. We just came...
Harris! I thought I told you people never to show up here.
But, Mr. Scott...
Quick, close that door and turn the light out. I'll pull the shades down.
Mr. Scott, what are you doing?
Didn't I tell you people never to come near this building?
Did anyone see you come in?
Of course not. I took all the precautions according to Clause 27 in our contract. When I left my house, I took a cab for four blocks, changed to a bus, went to Azusa, doubled back through Pomona, put my disguise on and entered the building from the rear, walked up the stairs on my hands so I wouldn't leave any footprints, and here I am.
And we cut your secretary's tongue out so she can't talk. And here it is.
Now, don't be facetious. Our agreement didn't call for any measures as drastic as that. All the contract says is that if you're ever seen in the vicinity of the building, our guards have the right to shoot you on sight.
If you want my opinion, I think this whole thing is ridiculous, Mr. Scott.
I am not interested in the opinion of a burlesque queen, boo-boo.
For the last time, I'm not a burlesque queen. I signed that contract with Milligan's Burlesque by mistake.
Forget about it, will you, Alice? Look, Mr. Scott, you gotta do me a big favor. I'm a very unhappy man. And, well, there's one thing you can do that will make life worthwhile for me.
What's that?
Let me do a commercial on the show.
Definitely no.
Why not? All I'm asking for is one crummy commercial. Gee whiz, what can it hurt?
The company.
Harris, this is one thing I'll never agree to.
Curly, let me handle it.
Mr. Scott.
What's on your mind, chowderhead?
As you know, I am not the type to resort to blackmail. But if you don't let us do a commercial, I'll be forced to tell everybody what a practical joker you are around the office.
What are you talking about?
Your secretary told me that every time she sits on your lap, you spread your knees apart and she falls on the floor. How hokey can you get, Scotty?
I never spread my knees apart. She's never been on my lap.
And I know why, too. She told me you have water on the knee and she keeps floating away.
Oh, what did I do to deserve this? I'm a busy man. I've got problems in the office. You people come in and drive me crazy. I'm having a little trouble with my wife.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you're having trouble with your wife, Mr. Scott. Can we help?
Yeah, is there anything we can do to widen the rift?
I'm sorry to hear that you're getting a divorce, Mr. Scott.
Well, thank you.
I'm not getting a divorce! We're just having a little spat about her singing.
Oh, does your wife sing?
Yes, she does.
What kind of a voice does your wife have, Mr. Scott?
Well, it's hard to describe. Sort of high and shrill and... Well, when she sings, it sounds like her corset is too tight. She wants me to get her a job as a professional singer, and I don't have time for such nonsense.
Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Scott. Maybe we can help you. You see, we're in show business, and, well, we know everybody. We'll get your wife a job singing.
Would you?
Well, that would be wonderful. I'll call her right now and tell
her. Wait a minute, not so fast. Now, if we get your wife a job, you got to do us a favor. You got to let us do a commercial on the show.
Well, it might even be worth that. All right, Harris, get my wife a job as a singer, and I'll let you do the commercial.
Oh, thank you. Scotty, you go call your wife, tell her to come to our house right away, and we'll get her started on her professional career. Come on, Alice, let's get home. Thanks. So long, Scotty.
Awfully nice of you people to help me out with my singing career.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Mrs. Scott. It's a pleasure. Alice is on the phone now calling some of our radio friends.
Oh. Yeah, we'll get you a job in no time.
You know, I'd like to hear you sing something, Mrs. Scott.
Oh, would you? Uh-huh. Very well, then. Me, 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 me. Me.
Choke it a little, honey. I think you're carbureted.
Will you keep quiet, Remley? You have no appreciation of fine music. Mrs. Scott, that was the best rendition of Goodnight Irene I ever heard.
I haven't started to sing yet. I was just warming up.
Well, get out of the bullpen and get started.
I have to vocalize first.
Naturally. Now, go ahead. May we hear you sing, Mrs. Scott? That ain't go get it, honey. You see, you're singing from up there, and the voice must come from down here.
Oh, of course. You mean from the abdominal region.
Yeah, that's... Now, shall we try it again?
Right. was that?
Much more abominable. But you see, Mrs. Scott, you still don't have those pear-shaped tones like, watch this. How now, brown cow? How did that sound?
Like a brown cow singing.
Please keep out of this. Look, Mrs. Scott, you'll never get any place with those two songs you just sang. You see, you've got to sing something that has a little meaning and depth to it. Something like the thing.
What is the thing?
Oh, here's somebody that hasn't heard it yet. What an opportunity. While I was walking down the beach one bright and sunny day, I saw a great big wooden box a-floating in the bay. I pulled it in and opened it up, and much to my surprise, ooh, I discovered a... Right before my eyes, ooh, I discovered a... Right before my eyes, I picked it up and ran to town as happy as a king. I took it to a guy I knew who'd buy most anything. But this is what he hollered at me as I walked in his shop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. I turned around and got right out of running for my life. And then I took it home with me to give it to my wife. But this is what she hollered at me as I walked in the door. Oh, get out of here with that. And don't come back no more. Ooh, get out of here with that. And don't come back no more. I wandered all around the town until I chanced to meet a hobo who was looking for a handout on the street. He said he'd take most any old thing, he was a desperate man. But when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. Oh, when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. I wandered on for many years, a victim of my fate, until one day I came upon St. Peter at the gate. And when I tried to take it inside, he told me where to go. Oh, get out of here with that, and take it down below. Oh, get out of here with that, and take it down below. The moral of this story is, if you're out on the beach, and you should see a great big box, and it's within your reach, don't ever stop and open it up. That's my advice to you. 'Cause you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do. No, you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do.
Oh, Mr. Harris.
Yes?
Mr. Harris, I don't want to be nosy, but whatever in the world was in that box?
You weren't paying attention, dear. Don't you remember when I opened the box, the first thing I saw was the thing. Now, the thing is, well, look, honey, it's on a Victor record. Find out on your own time. Now, how about let's get back to your singing.
Well, would you like to hear something from my repertoire?
Oh, I thought you worked alone. But I would love to hear you sing, wouldn't you, Frankie?
Not particularly.
Mrs. Scott, don't pay any attention to this boy. Look, I'd love to hear you sing something. Go ahead, please.
Very well, then.
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I've found thee. Oh, I know at last the secret of it all.
All right, that's enough, lady. Cut. Mrs. Scott, that was sensational. That was
Mr. Harris, what's going on? What was that awful racket? racket in here.
What do you mean, racket? The lady was singing.
Is that what it was? I thought you still blew up.
All right, no cracks, Julius. This is my boss's wife that was singing.
Oh, your boss's wife,
That's
huh?
right, son, yeah. Now, tell me honestly, did you ever hear anything like that before?
Not since my aunt's tomcat got caught in the garbage disposal.
How dare you compare my voice with that of a tomcat?
You pay no attention to him, Mrs. Scott. There ain't a tomcat alive that can sing like you. Continue, Mrs. Scott.
Oh, Mr. Harris, I have a splendid suggestion. Why don't you and I do a duet?
This is a splendid suggestion?
You like it, son?
Are you kidding? You've just won the Pulitzer Prize for the most nauseating idea of the year. Well, I can't wait to hear this.
Well, never mind. It'll be great. Now, here it is. It'll be great, though. I have news for you, Julius. Our voices will blend beautifully together. Now then, Mrs. Scott, what song would you like to have me drown you out in?
Well, how about the Indian Love Call?
An excellent choice. Very apropos. You see, Mrs. Scott, I am part redskin.
Really? It's not noticeable.
Look at his nose.
I'm anxious to hear this duet.
All right, you're gonna hear it. We're gonna start right away. Now you go first, Mrs. Scott, and then I shall join in.
Very well.
When I'm calling you,
oh, will you answer to?
Certainly is.
What's the matter with you? You're nuts or something? That was beautiful, and it was a beautiful rendition of the Indian Love Call. How'd it sound, Julius?
Like it was being scalped.
Please be quiet, Sonny. Now, let's continue, Mr. Harris.
But if when you hear
my love call ringing dear,
and I hear your answering echo so clear,
then I will know our love will come true. You'll belong to me.
That was lovely, Nelson.
Oh, I'm nothing without you, Jeanette.
Are you through, Fred? Or do you and Ginger want to go into your dance now? Julius, will you please get out of here? This is very important to Mrs. Scott.
Yes.
I'm auditioning her voice so I can get her a job as a chartreuse. Now beat it, will you?
Well, what do you think of my voice, Mr. Harris?
Well, pardon me, Mrs. Scott, but this requires a consultation. Will you come here a minute, Remley? Pardon us.
Come here.
Look, Frankie, I know it's bad, but we got to get her a job in show business if we want to do a commercial. Let's try to get her in some nightclub. You know, a nice, dark place with bad acoustics.
Curly, they don't come that dark.
Well, maybe we can get her on the stage, someplace like the Philharmonic or the Concert Hall.
That's
or
it,
get
the
her...
stage. And I know just the guy who'll give her a job. Curly, you keep her here till I get back, and I guarantee I'll have her in show business.
Well, hurry up.
I'm glad you dropped in, Mr. Scott. You know, Phil heard your wife sing, and he thinks she has a wonderful voice.
You like it, Harris? Why, it's heavenly. In fact, Frankie's out now signing her up with a Philharmonic.
Curly, it's all set. Oh, hiya, Scotty, and congratulations. I just got your wife a solid 52 weeks in show business.
Well, that's wonderful, Remley. A concert tour?
You might call it that. I wouldn't, but you might.
Remley, what kind of a job did you get her?
Well, her new boss is outside. I'll call him in and let him explain it to you. Hey, Milligan, come in here.
Milligan?
Hello, hello, hello there. Hello there. Hello, hey, 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 everybody.
Well, what are you doing here?
Well, if it ain't Boo Boo Fay, the little Egypt from the atomic age.
Mr. Milligan, I want you to...
Ah, let me look at you, Blondie. Ah, you're getting nice and softy, honey. Yes, sir, about 5 more pounds and you'll be ready for Milligan's meaty mamas.
Meaty mamas? Harris, who is this man?
The name's Rocket Mouth Milligan, friend. Owner and operator of the world's finest burlesque show this side of the Rocky Mountains.
What? You own a burlesque show?
That's right, Grandma. Well, Remy, where is she? Where's the new star of my show?
What new star?
She, Emmy Shakin' Scott.
Who?
Yes, sir, Remley told me she's the hottest thing to hit the runway since Tassel Spinell.
Mr. Remley, what have you done? Mr. Milligan, the deal is off.
What have you got to do with it? Who are you?
I'm Shammy Shakin' Scott. No! No, I mean I'm Mrs. Scott. I'm the one Mr. Remley signed for your show.
You're... Remley, what are you trying to pull?
Well, you told me you liked the meaty.
Look, I like a meaty, but this dame abuses the privilege. She spread out all over the place.
This is the most humiliating thing that ever happened to me. Take me home, Clyde. Imagine me in burlesque, dressed in one of those scanty costumes.
Oh, what a horrible picture. I mean, what a horrible thought.
Mr. Scott, I want you to know that I had nothing to do with
this. Harris, I am a peaceful man. I don't believe in resorting to violence. But...
Now, take it easy, Mr. Scott.
Stop backing away and let me at you. Let me hit you once. All I want to do is spread your nose all over your face.
Mr. Scott! Ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, saving bonds is a Christmas present, are a gift that keeps on giving. For every $3 invested now, $4 will be returned in just 10 years. Remember, there's no safer means of saving than through the purchase of United States saving bonds. Thank you, and good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Lois Corbett, Gail Gordon, and Dick Lane. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. And remember, three chimes mean good times on NBC.
Douglas Fairbanks stars on Theater Guild later on NBC.